Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to be back after an absence of about 4 Lord's Day. As some of you may have heard, the moment we arrived in Perth, the excitement started. I was stopped at the immigration because there was a problem with my visa. Apparently, someone has reported on me to the immigration saying that I had been to Perth on 2 previous occasions on a social visit pass, and I'd been doing the work of a pastor, which was true. And the immigration officer told me that he had enough information to send me and my whole family back the moment we arrived. And so I apologized to him for not knowing their law as well as for breaking their law. Ignorance is no excuse. And so he advised me that since you're a pastor and you give me your word that you travel as a tourist for this trip, we will let you through. But if you want to do the work of a pastor, please get your visa changed to the right kind of visa. He gave me the address of the immigration department. And then before I shook hands and left, he said to me, please do not treat this lightly. This is a serious offense. They will send federal people to the church to check, to make sure that I abide by the law. And so from the moment we stepped down on Perth, the excitement started. It was a very eventful and a very fruitful trip. And within 1 week, we got our visa changed and the ministry continued on by the grace and mercies of God. All things work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And truly we know that it was by God's divine and sovereign appointment that we were there to help the church in BPCWA in Western Australia, in Perth. And through this incident, the session there are now much more united, and they have awakened to the struggles and the difficulties that they now will have to deal with. Please pray that this church will be kept by God's grace, and that we will all learn to be encouraged in the Lord. You see, very often when preachers preach the Word of God, the Lord time and time again will cause us to learn hard lessons through the messages that we preach, to ensure that whether we be merely preachers and teachers of God's Word and not practitioners of God's Word as well. I remember not too long ago, I preached on the message to reward good for evil. And immediately after that, for the next 2 weeks, I had to live out that particular message. And this morning, the lesson started before the message. To be encouraged in the Lord is something that David had to learn the hard way. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, you'll find that David's life as a fugitive was nearly at an end. For in 1 Samuel chapter 31, Saul would die. And as we come to 2 Samuel, David will be made king of Judah. And then after 7.5 years later, he will be made the king of all Israel. But just before his fugitive years came to an end, the Lord wanted David to learn one more very precious and important lesson, that his heart must not be because of the people around him, nor because of the possessions that he may have accumulated even as a fugitive. For in chapter 29, last Lord's Day, you would have heard how God delivered him and spared him from joining the Philistines to attack the Israelites. God delivered David from a near impossible situation. If he attacked Israel, that will be against his conscience. If he said, I do not want to attack Israel because Israel is my people, then the Philistines would attack him and he and his whole family and his men would be wiped out. And so he did not know what to do. And so God delivered him. And he took 3 days to return to his family. And that's where our text begin in verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. Ziklag was the fortified city that Achish, the Philistine king that David befriended in his fugitive years, when he hid in Philistine territory, in order that he may escape the hand of King Saul. And so he came to Ziklag to live, to survive, to protect his family. And we are told that on the third day, that means he took 3 days to return. And on his arrival, he found that everything that he had completely destroyed and his families were taken. And that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. The Amalekites had always been the enemies of Israel. Right from the time of Moses when Israel came out of Egypt, the Amalekites were the first enemies of Israel to attack Israel, and they did it from the rear, deliberately attacking the old folks, the weak, the infirmed, who were trailing behind their long march to the promised land. And so the Amalekites continued to be a thorn on their sides, and this time they attacked Ziklag. And we're told in verse 2, that they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. No human being were killed. All of them were taken captives, probably to be made slaves. And so David and his men came to the city. And the moment they arrived, perhaps they smelled the smoke and they saw the residue of the burning, glowing embers, perhaps, of homes that are now in charred conditions, thinking that after their 3 days of tiring journey, they will come back home to their families and relax and be reunited with loved ones. But to their shock and their great dismay, what they had to face is something that we all feared. We all would never even wish upon our worst enemy. It's like someone who comes home to find not only his house ransacked, but his wife and his children all completely killed or taken away. And you are at a loss as to what to do. It's as if your entire world had collapsed around you. And that was how David and his men felt. When they came in verse 3, it was burned with fire. They saw their homes and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. They did not know what to do. But one thing, they turned upon their leader. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You too lost everything. And you may have thought that your men who had been fighting with you, who had been fleeing from the wrath of King Saul all these years with you, would be on your side, sitting down, perhaps making some plans as to what to do. Instead, all of them pointed a finger at David and they are about to stone him, to kill him in the process. That was how grievous the loss of their loved ones had driven these 600 fighting men. They were in dire straits. They were like people who were drowning and the water has now reached neck level. And no help seems to be in sight? Is there any one of us whom perhaps may feel this way because of the difficult economic situation that is around us? Will we have a job next year? Where is my hope and my trust? We may ask ourselves. We have all these things that we have to pay for. We have to pay for our home. We have to pay for our cars. We have to pay for many things that we may possess now on higher purchase. And we feel as if our job is now hanging by the thinnest of thread. Then when we come home, we continue to find family problems. Husband has strayed away. Wife has strayed away. Children are wayward. Problem with their studies. Hanging around in schools with friends that distract them from their studies. They come home with all kinds of bad reports and results. Friends would call up in the middle of the night, and they come home very late in the night refusing to listen to us, and everything seems to collapse around us. What do we do? Where do we go? For some, sadly, they end up taking their own lives, and that is a sin. For others, we just flip. We just go cuckoo. We just do not know what to do, and we just try to shut all these things away at a loss as to what to do. Or do we look for someone to blame and stone, perhaps? We blame it on our wife. We blame it on our husband. We blame it on everyone else except ourselves. Is it a time for blaming when we are cornered like David? He thought that his life as a fugitive was bad enough. But what he had to experience right now was much, much worse. At least when you flee for your lives, your wives, your children may be with you by your side. You have people around you to help you, to encourage you. But now they are all gone, and now you're all alone with 600 men who are about to stone you. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. In the darkest moments of your life, of my life, to whom do we turn to? For David, he found much strength in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord because actually he had no one to turn to but God himself. And as a Christian, we must realize that our complete and total dependence and trust must not be even amongst our families, our loved ones, our best of friends, but on God himself. But on God himself. And not only in this kind of situations when it becomes so dark and so gloomy that we turn to the Lord, but under all situations, all circumstances, we turn to the Lord. What I share with you from our experience in Perth, we had no one to turn to but the Lord himself to help us. One of the lessons that I learned during that first week where I sit back and do nothing but to day in, day out visit the immigration to expedite the release of my new visa, was to realize that the preaching ministry that I have enjoyed these past 6 years and a half, that's how long I've been in this church since I came back from America, that I have taken that for granted. And the Lord, by one stroke, can take that away. And I just sit there like the rest of the congregation and I couldn't preach. And I learned that lesson. Do not take every privilege and every opportunity for the preaching of the word for granted. It is an honor, a high honor that I must never, never think that it will always be there. If I am lazy, the Lord can just take it away. Be encouraged in the Lord to be strengthened inside our hearts in the Lord who is our Heavenly Father. For David, what did he have in his life to be encouraged in the Lord? He does not have the whole Bible that we have. He does not have the friends that we have. His closest friends are these 600 fighting men, and they want to kill him. He does not have the revelations that we have today. He had so little, and yet he was able to be encouraged in the Lord. The Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He had the anointing that Samuel gave to him before he even heard of a man called Goliath. That anointing as a young lad must have been one of the mainstay in his trust and his belief in the God who has saved him and called him. He must continue to hold on to the more than 7 times that Saul wanted to take his life and the Lord had delivered him. These past experiences where he counted on his blessings to encourage his heart. To continue to trust in the Lord. See, someone who is encouraged in the Lord will not be impulsive and be hasty. If we were in David's shoes, what would be the first thing that we do in our hearts? The first thing would probably be gather the 600 men and to pursue after the enemies, isn't it? What else have we got to do? We have to chase after the Amalekites to find them and bring our families back. That would be the first impulse that will come to our mind. But not someone who is encouraged in the Lord. He will always seek God's will for his life. And when he said he was encouraged in the Lord, that's exactly what he did. He asked Abiathar the priest, who was the only priest left, who was Ahimelech's son. Ahimelech was the one who helped him, gave him some food from the showbread in the tabernacle, as well as the sword of Goliath. And when that was revealed to King Saul killed Ahimelech and all the priests that were there. Abiathar was the only one who escaped. And he joined David, and he was the priest in that group. And so David asked him, I pray thee, please bring the ephod. Ephod was the garment that the high priest would wear when they enter into the tabernacle to meet with God. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And what David intended to do, he sought the Lord first. He asked the Lord for help, for guidance. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, verse 8, shall I pursue after this troop? Our natural reaction is, sure, go, go. But not David. He asked the Lord. Someone who is encouraged in the Lord will always seek the Lord's will for his life. Shall I overtake them? Will I succeed? And God answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. There was God's promise. Someone who is encouraged in the Lord will pray. He will pray. He will not sulk. He will not enter into a state of depression. He will not point a finger and find fault. He will not blame anyone. He will just turn to the Lord and ask the Lord, please help me. Help me be strengthened in my inner man that I may go through this difficult situation. Whatever it is, be it the loss of a job or the loss of good health, I know that the Lord will see me through. If it is the loss of good health, and if I were to breathe my last breath, the Lord will still see me through. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But who will look after and provide for my family? You try your utmost in this lifetime, and if the Lord says your time is up, your Heavenly Father loves your family more than you and I could ever hope to love our family. Trust in God to provide and to care for them. Your worry, your anxiety will not help one single bit. Encourage yourself in the Lord by remembering His word, by remembering and counting past blessings, how the Lord had helped you and carried you through. And always pray to Him. Never be impulsive. Always commit whatever we have to do to the Lord. And the Lord will surely come to our aid. Our Heavenly Father is the one living and true God. That's how the Bible describes Him. Living and true, as compared to the idols who are dead. Eyes they can't see, mouth they can't speak, ears that can't hear. Living and true. He is alive, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is the one true God who will always tell us the truth, a God who can never lie. And if He says, I know you to the extent whereby even the hairs on your head are numbered by me. That is the kind of closeness, the kind of intimacy that God wants His children to realize. If I loved you while you were my enemies, you think I would not love you now that I have made you my sons and my daughters? You see the logic, the argument? You think God will ever desert His children? No loving father or mother would ever desert His children, isn't it? They will always, to the best of their ability, provide everything that they think is best for their children. They will never desert them. They will always care for them, to love them. And if we as sinful human parents can do that, how much more our Heavenly Father toward each one of us? Whatever adversity, whatever circumstances we may be in, be encouraged in the Lord. Count your blessings. Trust in Him. Seek Him in prayer. That's what David did. And you will realize that when God delivers, His reaction will be different from the rest. The rest, whose reaction was to point a finger and blame David. If we had not joined Achish, all kinds of ifs. Notice their reaction at the end of this episode. And so David went with his 600 men, and they were by the brook of Besor. Besor was about 20 kilometers south of Ziklag. Ziklag was one of the borderline cities between the territory of the Philistines and the tribe of Judah. Verse 10, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind and near the brook of Besor. They were too tired, which was so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And as they continued on, they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. They gave him bread, and he didn't eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came back to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. You see how the Lord provided someone to help him discover where the Amalekites have hidden their loved ones. We made an invasion upon the south of the Keratites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? Can you lead us back unto your master, the Amalekite? And he said, you swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And David accepted. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. They were having a good time, the Amalekites, rejoicing in the spoils and the victories that they had, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. It was a long, long day of slaughter. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels, and they fled. How many died on that battlefield, we do not know, but only 400 Amalekites remained. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. David recovered all exactly as what God said to him, without fail, you shall recover all. He sought the Lord answered him, and he was able to deliver his loved ones exactly
according to God's commandment. Be encouraged in the Lord. The Lord hears. By faith, trust in Him. He hears every word, every prayers that are uttered by His children. And He will deliver the way that He has helped David. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men who were waiting for them at the brook Besor, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Now look at how some of the 600 men reacted. They wanted to stone David. They did not pray. They did not pray to the Lord. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." In other words, just return to them their families, whatever used to belong to them in battle or whatever spoils that we may have obtained from the Amalekites, they will have no share. They didn't accompany us to fight against them. Since they lagged behind, we will leave them be. Because we are the ones who did all the work. And therefore, we will get the spoils. Not these 200 sons of Belial. Sons of worthlessness. That's the meaning of Belial. Belial became a nickname in the days of Christ, used by the Lord Jesus Christ to describe Satan. Those who are not encouraged in the Lord will probably behave like these people when their adversity, when a difficult situation comes to an end. They will think that I have done it by my own strength, by my own wit, by my own abilities and capabilities, because we did not ask the Lord to help us. It's like someone who is seeking for a job. You did not pray. You just went around carrying your resume and your portfolio. And you wrote letters to this company, that company, and then you got your job. By your own strength, by your own ability. And you will think that whatever salaries you get is because you have accumulated it yourself. As a child of God, you have to understand that it is by God's grace and mercy first. You have good health and strength. You have the good mind and the good brain. God is the one who has opened the doors for you to enter in. It's like sons and daughters who, after they get their degrees from the universities, turn their backs on their parents saying that I have achieved, I have arrived, and I have got this degree all by myself. Without your parents nurturing you, bringing you up when you were as a baby, suffering from high fever throughout the middle of the night, the parents did not sleep to look after you. Without their financial support through all your early years, even all the way up to university, you think you would have attained that piece of paper because of your ability? Where is your gratitude? You think it is because of you? Think. It is more because of your parents than because of you. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, when any child of God do not pray and seek the Lord in overcoming his difficulties, he will probably react like these people. Cause and effect. We did it, we get the blessings, but not David. David sought the Lord gave him the victory. You look at his reply in verse 23. "Ye shall not do so, my brethren." Why? "With that which the Lord had given us, not because of our might, not because of our prowess, that we were able to defeat the Amalekites, that none of our loved ones, our children, our sons and our daughters, our wives are returned to us unharmed. The Lord had given us, not us. The Lord was the one who preserved us, who gave us the victory over the Amalekites. The Lord was the one who delivered the company that came against us into our hand. It is the Lord. not us. Someone who is encouraged in the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be able to give glory to God, and he would know from his heart how he has arrived to what he is today because of God. And he is not just saying it because it is the thing to say. He is saying it because it is his experience, like David. It was his experience. It was his experience. They all pointed finger, wanted to stone, he prayed. And God answered. And after everything is all over, now they can come back to Ziklag with their spoils and more than what they had before that. The families all reunited. Time of rejoicing and thanksgiving. David never forgot the Lord who had encouraged him. And that is exactly what every child of God must learn, must understand. Don't take your families for granted. At the close of every day, pray with your families. Thank God that at the close of this day, we are once again together. Yourself, your wife, your children. The Lord has kept you safe. But you won't be able to do that if in the morning you have not begun the day with the Lord. Learn to be people filled with hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving God has done for each one of us. So much so that even in the most difficult time of our life, we will be able to be encouraged in the Lord. Turn to him for help. What lies in store for us in 1999, we do not know. Only the Lord knows. As we enter into 1998, there were some members who started the year with us, but they did not finish this year with us. The Lord had taken them home. Will we be around the same time next year as we enter into the new millennium, the year 2000? Only God knows, isn't it? And yet, whatever lies ahead, we know that it is under the control of our sovereign God. We know that God will continue to look after us. He will look after our loved ones, our families, whatever lies ahead. This must be the basis for our decision making under all circumstances. Be encouraged in the Lord who has saved you, who has called you, who has protected you, who has given us everything. Trust in him, and he will see us through victorious. Whatever lies ahead, our Heavenly Father knows, and he will deliver. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer any one of us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. A very precious promise given by God to all his children. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before thee, Lord, acknowledging indeed that it is by thy grace and thy mercies that thou hast kept each one of us through the year 1998. And thou hast continued to provide us with good jobs, with health, with all the substance that we need to keep body and soul together. And we thank thee, Father, for loved ones, for our families and for our children, for truly they are gifts from thee. Help us, O Lord, to be people of gratitude, people who will learn always to give thanks to thee and be encouraged in the Lord Jesus Christ. But above all, Father, we thank thee for so great a salvation that thou hast given to each one of us, that we are now sons and daughters of the living God, knowing that whatever may happen to us, no one can take us out of the Father's hand because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Oh, Father, as we enter into the tail end of this year, 1998, may thou help each one of us to sit down and to meditate and to ponder over this past 12 months and see what thou hast done for each one of us and for our loved ones and our families. And may we look forward to the year 1999 with great expectations from a great God, a God who will always take care of His children. So help us, therefore, to be strengthened in the inner man and to be encouraged in our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.